Yeah, thank you. I am trying to get my recorder working, and it's a little difficult. Let me see. I think I know how to use this, but let's see how it happened. My name is Thomas Provencelik. I'm an American living in Hong Kong, Europe, etc. And the title of my talk is Validity of Molecular Dynamics in Computational Nanoscience. Now, some of you who worked in molecular dynamics will understand a lot of the details that I'm going to throw up at you. Yeah, I'd rather use this. Those of you who have worked in molecular dynamics will understand what I'm throwing out at you. And those of you who do not, the idea behind, I have two presentations here. The idea between, for both of them, is the relationship of quantum mechanics to nanotechnology. Okay? The general theme. Introduction. Molecular dynamics, which I call MD, is commonly used to simulate heat transfer at the nanoscale in the belief that the atomistic response to energetic potentials ab initio is more accurate than macroscopic finite element FE programs, for example, ANSYS, COMSOL, and all the rest. In this talk, however, I'm going to show the finite element gives equivalent heat transfer to MD, but both are invalid at the nanoscale by quantum mechanics. Okay? And I'm going to present a nanowire tensile test as an example of how to do a valid and invalid MD simulation. Okay? MD and finite element restrictions, as you all know, they're restricted by SM, which is statistical mechanics, to atoms having thermal heat capacity. Now, the validity, classical MD simulations of the bulk are performed under PBC, which assumes the atoms have heat capacity. Now, PBC stands for periodic boundary. And here I show a central box in a three-dimensional matrix, and by analyzing the atoms in that box, you can analyze the continuum. This started by Metropolis and Teller, and by Teller I mean Edward Teller, back in 1953. And the macroscopic bulk that Teller and Metropolis studied, all atoms were assumed to have heat capacity because they assumed periodic boundary conditions. Perfectly correct. It's valid for bulk PBC simulation. But the problem is, today, MD is not used for bulk simulations, if at all. But for the response of discrete molecules and nanostructures. Discrete, not periodic. Here I show protean folding. The unfolded protean is changed into the folded protein. You see this occurs at the nanoscale. Now, the MD programs based on statistical mechanics assume the atom has heat capacity, and therefore temperature changes occur in folding proteins. And I'm going to show in this talk that quantum mechanics forbids that to occur, and that leads to the conclusion that MD simulations of this protean folding, which are done everywhere, are quite invalid. Now, the heat capacity atom, I start here. Here you see the Planck energy of the atom on the ordinate, in electron volts, thermal wavelength lambda in microns, and on the right you see the KT energy of the atom at room temperature, 0.258 electron volts. Now, classical physics, given by this white line that goes all the way across from the macroscale out here to the nanoscale over here, the atoms are assumed in MD, COMSOENSIS, and all the fun element programs to have constant KT energy. However, quantum mechanics differs. This is the Planck law, as you see here. Most of you know this equation, but if you plot this out at 300 degrees Kelvin, you get this yellow curve, and you can see down to maybe here, classical physics and quantum mechanics give about the same heat capacity to the atom. But after that, as you can see, this goes off to zero. There's virtually no heat capacity to the atom. And what this means is, if you go back a century ago, Einstein worried about this temperature. As temperature goes to zero, the heat capacity went to zero. If all they were considering at that time were macroscopic objects. So at the nanoscale, there's another alternative, lambda, and I'll show you how that enters into this. Actually, you can have quantum mechanics occurring at room temperature. So in nanostructures, the atom has no heat capacity by quantum mechanics. Quantum corrections. If you don't think your MD solution is correct, there are procedures for checking it. And those procedures are called quantum corrections. And going back to my beginning in molecular dynamics, Allen and Tilsley, 1987, and then followed up with Behrens et al. These references are on my home page. You don't need to write them down. You can look them up later. But the quantum corrections will show that heat capacity vanishes, but it's basically ignored. People just don't do it. They publish their papers and that's it. Now, McCorry, back in 1976, misinterpreted the quantum corrections. He assumed that the heat capacity of the atom, the classical heat capacity, had an additional term due to quantum mechanics, which vanished. But it's incorrect. The entire heat capacity vanishes. And a lot of the invalid MD solutions throughout the literature may be attributed to McCorry's misinterpretation. Now, the conservation of energy, if you don't have the heat capacity, how do you conserve any energy that's absorbed? You still have to conserve that, right? And the proposal here is that the absorbed energy will be conserved by QED, quantum electrodynamics, a la Feynman, creating electromagnetic radiation that charges the discrete molecule or the nanostructure, and if not, it will be lost to the surroundings, okay? So charge or being lost. The radiation will... Now, the electromagnetic confinement. How do I show that lambda is very small? Remember, I showed you that. The nanostructures have high surface-to-volume ratio. I think you all agree with that. And the absorbed energy, therefore, is concentrated in the surfaces, and it temporarily traps itself to form the electromagnetic confinement. There's no helmet around each atom, as was pointed out to me in a few presentations. It traps itself. It goes into the surface. And QED then converts that trapped energy to standing wave QED radiation that is emitted to the surroundings. Here I show an example of that. Here's a body, a nanocoating surrounding. Heat goes into the nanocoating, right? There's no temperature increase. Then the energy goes into the surfaces, two surfaces of the nanocoating, right? High surface to volume ratio. Okay. Now, that confinement forms a photon inside of QED radiation, I call it, having a half wavelength, lambda over 2, equal to the thickness d of the nanocoating. Okay? And then once all that energy is used up, the radiation comes out, as you see here. However, you can see some of it goes back into the body, and But that's no problem because it will be absorbed and produce more heat and it will come back out again. So effectively you get about 100% efficiency here. Okay. And I'll show you later, LEDs are very inefficient in the ultraviolet. Anyhow, the equation is simple. The frequency of the QED radiation here is F equals velocity of light C divided by refractive index N divided by the wavelength. And lambda over 2, I just showed you, has to be equal to the thickness D. And then the Planck energy of that radiation is Planck's constant H times the frequency F. Okay, MD, discrete and periodic. I'm going to make a quick comparison of discrete and periodic boundary conditions. Here you see what is called a nanocar. Okay, the wheels actually rotate. This work was done at Rice University in Houston, Texas. Now, what they did, they laid many of the cars down. I only show one here for clarity. And when they heat the gold surface, lo and behold, the cars start to move. This was a big question mark. Why did the cars move? And to try to understand that, they made MD simulations of this car. And as you know now, by now, the KT energy of each of the atoms in this car have to be zero. But they did a conventional MD solution, which said there is finite heat capacity. What they found was the car distorts but does not move. And there's a macroscopic analogy to this. If you park your car out here on a flat surface, it's not quite flat, but if you do on a hot day with the brakes off, you don't expect it to move, right? No one would expect the car to move. However, and if you made a finite element simulation of your actual car, you'd conclude the same thing they found in Houston, Texas. The car would not move. And the reason is that the heat capacity of the atom, as I pointed out earlier, from the macro to the nanoscale is the same. So the finite element simulations give you the same result as MD. Classical physics does not work at the nanoscale, is the basic bottom line. Quantum mechanics differs. There's no increase in car temperature. Charge is produced inside this car and other cars. And the interaction between the cars, the charge interaction, causes them to move. Here's a periodic boundary condition, a nanoparticle in a fluid. Here, periodic boundary conditions is used as perfectly valid. So it's absolutely okay. Now, what I'd like to show you quickly, and I hope I have enough time, nanowire and a tensile test. What is found at Georgia Tech under Professor Wang, they actually made tensile test of a nanowire. They grabbed it at two ends and pulled it. Okay? It's a beautiful piece of work. You can look it up. And there was a size effect. What they found is the stress strain curve of the nanowire was stiffer than that of a conventional material, which in this case was silver. Now, the mechanism they attributed to the stiffness was a high surface to volume ratio, they mentioned that, in combination with the annihilation of dislocations from five-fold twinning, which I think even Professor Wang would agree is a little far-fetched. But that's what was given. Now, the alternative mechanism, the quantum mechanics will deny the nanowire the heat capacity to increase in temperature. When you pick up the nanowire with the grips are macroscopic. They have KT energy. When you pick them up, okay, what happens, you basically charge all the atoms inside. There's no temperature change in the nanowire, right? But you produce this radiation which charges some of the atoms. All of the atoms, I make that assumption. So the atoms are charged. And what you see here is an MD simulation of that situation where all the atoms are charged. Here you see that. And the wires that they used were 38 nanometers diameter, 1.5 microns long. Well, I couldn't put that on my personal computer. I reduced it to 550 atoms in this configuration, and the nanowire size, where you can see all angstrom size. And the Lennard-Jones potential, you all know this, or you've probably heard of it. Electrostatic energy. To obtain these valid solutions, I had to reduce the thermal energy of the atoms and impose electrostatic repulsion between all atoms. This is the equation. Eta here is a ratio of the total amount of energy that I have. Thermal, KT, electrostatic here, and this eta is then defined here. Now at room temperature, 300 Kelvin, this comes out around 0.065, and you remember that number, I come back to it later. In equilibration, the model with 5,000 iterations, and I maintained a temperature of 0.1 Kelvin, knows Hoover thermostat. Time step 5 femtoseconds, loading, I displaced the end and held it for 5,000 iterations. Stress computation is given here. This is from the virial theorem. And the thermal velocity of the atoms is required to be included in the virial, but there was controversy out there. But when I argued quantum mechanics, I got rid of the thermal. Actually, there is no, this term here will vanish by quantum mechanics. So atoms in a nanowire are not thermally excited, basically. And when you do all that, here's the uniaxial test. This is the typical MD solution that you'll get using standard programs. Here you see the stress, sigma X, sigma Y, and sigma Z. Sigma Z is along the axis. Sigma X and sigma Y are orthogonal to that. And this is now the Young's modulus for different displacements. You can see it all tends to converge out here at the end. Now, when you add the triaxial tension, when you add the Coulomb repulsion between all atoms, what you find is sigma X and sigma Y do not go to zero, and I didn't make that point a few slides before, because in the uniaxial test, they go to zero. Okay? But under triaxial stress state, they do not, and you get this type of solution. And here's Poisson's ratio. You can see it kind of converges to 0.5. And Young's modulus is shown here versus solution time step. And for eta equals 0.001, it's closest to the experimental solution. So the summary then is that the nanowire fits the data at 0.01 or near there, means that 1 over 6.5 or 15% of the KT energy that was in the grips went to producing the stiffening effect, and the other 85% was lost to the surroundings. And the uniaxial stress state, 17 million, triaxial stress state, 31. It's a stiffening enhancement of about 2. And the conclusions then are that MD based on statistical mechanics is valid for PVC, no question. MD and finite element provide equivalent heat transfer simulation of molecules and discrete structures, but are invalid by quantum mechanics. And quantum mechanics negates statistical mechanics. Effectively, the Fourier's equation is not applicable at the nanoscale. And most of you know that, but I'm giving you another reason for that argument. And the valid MD solutions of molecules and nanostructures require conservation of the energy by the creation of charge instead of temperature. Well, that's all I have. Again, if you want my, look on my homepage, you can get all this presentation and references that I used in the talk. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Very interesting presentation. Any questions, please?
Huh? How many of you have done MD? No one. Well, oh, okay. Well, I, Professor De Silva, what is? I mean, given that you're the only one that does MD, I
I do ab initio and multiple dynamics ab initio and also density functional theory and so on. But interesting to know that you write your own codes or you think you use a different program for MD calculation?
Do I like to?
You write your own computer programs or?
No, again, in my general theme of coming here, the two presentations is again to show how quantum mechanics affects nanotechnology. This is more on the analytical side. And tomorrow, at 11:25 or so, I give another talk on a practical application of a coating on a bowl for purification of water. But the same argument on the I showed you that the thickness of the coating, how it responds to the heat. There's no temperature change and you produce radiation, and it's a combination of quantum mechanics, quantum electrodynamics. And that means you can produce UVC radiation with your own body heat. And a lot of you may not want to believe that. And I'll ask you to come tomorrow and I'll try to justify that for you. But there's more than enough. And beyond this, I think QED, which I call this mechanism, will supersede LEDs. And the UVC, for sure, because they can only get around 1% efficiency with LEDs. And the ultraviolet. Okay? Whereas with QED, you're getting almost 100%. Now, in the VIS, the LEDs are quite efficient, right? You all know that. But when you try to go to higher frequencies, it's much more difficult to make. They're trying to improve it, but right now they can't. So I don't know if I've...
You discussed about 550 atom system, like that.
Well, yeah, Yes, I had 550 atoms here,
duration for the LD.
The reason for 550, my personal computer is small. I don't have.
How long will it take? How long it will take for 500?
This took about 20 minutes on my PC.
That is quite fast.
Huh?
That is quite fast.
Yeah. I have a small PC computer. If I had a large computer, I could. But it won't, I don't think it will make any difference because we know uniaxially it doesn't matter what the size is. You get the same stress strain. But again, I haven't done that. I had that question once before. Will it be any different at a larger size? And I didn't think so. But the question came up before.
Thank you. Any questions? Very interesting because now people are looking for modeling and normally we go for accuracy with IQ and density functional theory. Maybe the model dynamics is a good option for us to think about it. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
That concludes this session number 4. And thank you very much for your attention and also
well, that's it.
The proceedings.
Yeah, thanks for this. We'll
see you tomorrow morning.
I like to move around.
Ladies and gentlemen, there is a special announcement. This is regarding the dinner. So we will go outside for the dinner. So please be present at the main gate at 6:30 p.m. So we will provide all the transportation facilities. Thank you.